Game one tonight. Caps, by the way, of the eight teams remaining, have the longest odds to win the Stanley Cup. They are also an underdog in this series, despite having home ice advantage. Game one is tonight. John Walton, who will be on the call for Caps Radio on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. He'll join us at 12:30 today. Tarik El-Bashir joined me on my podcast over the weekend to preview the series. Tarik, of course, with Monumental Sports, but also does a really good job on ice for the Turner games, TBS, TNT, etc. I started off by just going back to the Montreal series and asking Tarik why they won and why they won in five games.
You know, Kevin, I feel like the series, and I think the players and even Coach Carberry would tell you, was probably a little closer than a five-game series. Game one could have gone either way. The overtime winner by Alex Ovechkin, that game had almost slipped away from Washington. Some of the other ones were kind of dicey and could have gone either way in the third period. But I think in the end, the deeper, more experienced team prevailed. The right team won the series. I feel like the great equalizer was twofold. When the Capitals were at home and Spencer Carberry could get his matchup, the matchup that he wanted. He wanted the Pierre-Luc Dubois line out against the Nick Suzuki line. They did a really good job of neutralizing what was one of the best offensive lines of the entire regular season. That Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, Juraj Slafkovský line was dangerous.
Yeah.
And from the Four Nations tournament on to the end of the regular season, it actually was the best. They were a plus 15. Scoring 24 goals, I believe. But when they were at home, when Washington was at home, Carberry was able to manipulate the lineup and did a really, really nice job with that. And Dubois did a really nice job keeping those guys in check. Jacob Chychrun and John Carlson also deserve a lot of credit in that matchup. They were out there deployed quite a bit against the Suzuki line. Number two, when your goaltender is playing the way he is, and I'm talking about Logan Thompson here. I know there was an injury scare there, and Charlie Lindgren had to come in for a little bit. But when your goaltender is playing the way Thompson is, you can do great things. You and I have talked about this so many times in the past. Goaltenders just play such a big role, particularly this time of year. And right now, Thompson is arguably the best goalie in the tournament in terms of overall body of work this season, but how he's playing right now.
That look, you know this, and I've said this to you many times before. Tarik's line, and sure to many others, but including me many years ago, hockey at this point in the year shouldn't be called hockey. It should be called goalie. But is he really right now, with the way he's playing, the best goaltender in, remaining in the postseason?
You know, I mean, statistically, he's probably in the top three. But I would say in terms of, and it's harder to measure this, in terms of making the timely saves, the saves that keep a game from getting tied or, allow your team to stay ahead, he's making those stops, and he's making the really difficult stops. But more importantly, he's doing it when his team needs it the most. And, he's playing the way, Kevin, that he looked in December and January when he was, in the conversation with Connor Hellebuck for the Vezina Trophy. And, again, when you're the Capitals and you've got good offense, you got a very good defense that's played together all season long. Marty Fioravari is out for the playoffs. That's a big loss. But for the most part, it's the same guys. You're playing Carberry's system. You've got great coaching. But when you have that X factor in goaltending, playing at the level that Thompson is, watch out. It's way too early to talk about, how far this team could go. But if I'm the rest of the league, I'm looking at how the Capitals got by Montreal, and I'm going, if Logan plays the way he did against Montreal, against Carolina, the Capitals are going to be a problem. They could be playing a long time this spring.
What is it about LT? Whenever somebody's first name begins with an L and the last name begins with a T, it's always LT. I mean, the all-time LT is Lawrence Taylor, but LaDainian Tomlinson was LT, and Logan Thompson is LT. So I wanted to ask you about Dylan Strome, who's got 7 points, and I think he's second in the postseason right now, and the rest of the guys have played six games.
Nine points.
Seven assists, two goals. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant. Just compare him to Nicklas Backstrom in Backstrom's heyday.
Yeah, different players. You know, I would say there are similarities, and the similarity that really stands out to me, Kevin, between Backstrom and Strome is both players play with the type of poise that they are able to slow down the game around them. Neither one of them are burners. Like, they're not fast. They're not going to overpower you. Their shot is not like so elite that, you know, he's just going to rip the puck past you the way like an Alex Ovechkin will. But he makes plays and creates space for himself by slowing the game down. And now that I've mentioned this, Kevin, you're going to notice this. When he gets the puck and he's in a tight window, he's in a tight space, he's able to twist and turn and use his body and use his sense of timing to just kind of elude defenders and just open up that eighth of a second, that fifth of, you know, half of a second even, that allows him to gain the space to operate and make a quick pass to a teammate. Backstrom was the maestro on the wall. I mean, he could do that better than just about anyone. I'm not going to say that Strome is in that category yet, but at his age, he's still getting better, and he's getting a lot better every year. I mean, the Capitals, you want to talk about a find. I mean, they signed him off the scrap heap from Chicago. I don't know what Chicago was thinking letting Dylan Strome walk a few years ago, but he's a legit number one center. And right now, his confidence is as high as I have seen it. You can see it when he's got the puck on his stick. His head's up, and he's reading the play, and he knows he's going to dangle it like he's got the puck on string, and he's going to make the right play, and he did repeatedly in that Montreal series. I mean, again, I don't know where things are going to go here, but he's a front runner right now for the best player on the Capitals. I mean, I know I just talked about LT, but, like, if this team goes a long way, like, he could be the playoff MVP based on the first series.
Yeah, I mean, I asked you because I had no clue, but, you know, I was reading about how great he's been this year, and he had 82 points this year, 53 assists, 29 goals in the regular season. And I just pulled up Backstrom's career before I reached out to you. He only had 3 seasons in his entire career that were better, you know, points total-wise than Strome's season this year. So I was just curious if there was a comparison. So anyway, before we get to Monday and the next series, Tommy and I were talking about this on the show yesterday. Tom Lavero and I were talking about just getting through this first round against Montreal was a bit of a psychological hurdle. Maybe not for every player on the team, and maybe not even the coach, because he hasn't been around here for everything that, you know, fans and some of the players and certainly the owner have experienced, you know, over the years of not advancing past the round you're supposed to advance past. And it had been 7 years since they had won a series. My question to you is, now that they've won a series, is the pressure off heading into the Carolina series? Or do you feel like, to sort of make the most out of this season and for people to steer, you know, to keep people away from being critical of the playoff result, they have to win another series? Because they're actually an underdog in the next series.
Which is also crazy to me. I noticed that this morning. I do not understand how they are an underdog to a team they finished double digits in terms of points, standings points ahead of in the regular season. But, you know, Vegas feels very strongly about Carolina. And not to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, but, I mean, if you look at, to me, statistically, the three best teams in the playoffs right now, you know, I think Carolina and Washington are in that top three. So, yeah, I don't really understand. You look comparing Washington and Carolina, the numbers, goals for, goals against, power play, penalty, it's all very similar. But anyway, in terms of pressure, I think the pressure's on these guys. I don't think they feel like they're playing with house money. I think they know that they won the Eastern Conference and for long stretches were in the mix for the President's Trophy because they've caught lightning in a bottle. You don't have many years like this. The Capitals have had some really, really good years where they, won President's Trophies and flamed out in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think they will always live with some of that regret. I think, especially the old heads, the guys like Ovi and Carlson and Wilson, like, they're looking around the room going, boys, this doesn't happen every year. Like, we got an invitation to the dance and now we're on to the second round. Like, let's not blow this because we have no idea what's going to be around the corner, what could happen next year. Like, we got to maximize this. Their chemistry is off the charts. Carberry is definitely a big, big X factor in terms of just how well he manages his players and how well he manages matchups and just really a good X's and O's coach and just knows how to communicate and say the right things. And, Ovi, 39.5 years old, just had an incredible season. At some point, Father Time is coming for him, Like, if I'm the Capitals, I'm looking at this as the best opportunity to make history, to solidify legacies since 2018.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And by the way, what a memorable season it would be if they just advanced, another round or two in combination with, the chasing down of Gretzky and the passing of Gretzky.
Yeah.
So you've talked a little bit about it in that last answer, but just what are the keys to beating Carolina? It sounds like you think the Caps are a better team. So what do they need to do to win this next round best of seven?
Well, they don't have a whole lot of control over how the goaltender plays, but again, if LT is the best player on the ice for long stretches, that is going to really, really matter. I think they do have the edge in goal. Carolina is an interesting team. A lot like the Capitals, they don't have star players. They don't have, like, a big headliner, oh my God, all-star, five-time all-star. Sebastian Aho, nice player, really good player. But like, you don't think of him as, like, a first-team, all-NHL-type player. They have a lot of depth. They like to play the game very, very fast. They make life hard on the goaltender by funneling everything to the net. You will notice, Kevin, they shoot from anywhere and everywhere at all times. They like to work the goaltender and then hunt for those second-chance opportunities and then bury them when they do find them. So I would say goaltending, if LT can play the way that he has, that, again, is a big X factor, always is this time of year. I would say for the Capitals, it's going to be boxing out in front of their own net. There's no way to suppress shots, really, against Carolina. They are going to throw everything and the kitchen sink at you. The key is going to be LT making the first save, putting the puck into a safe area, and then the defenseman and even the center, whoever is in that defensive coverage area, either clearing the puck, making a quick decision to get it back going the other direction, but just not allowing it to lie around and create those second-chance rebound opportunities, because Carolina is the best team in the league at winning those battles 6 feet in front of the net. So that's another one. And, the Capitals struggle for long stretches getting out of their own end against Montreal, and that really limited how much time they were able to spend in the offensive end with their better players. I think that's going to be a challenge for them, is going to be breaking the puck out against Carolina's heavy forecheck, but they've got to figure it out. They sort of figured it out towards the end of that Montreal series, but I'd like to see them have good control over that from the start, clean breakouts, quick ups, getting the puck going north, and not spending too much time in your own end. When the Capitals got in trouble against Montreal, it was because the D-man went to retrieve a puck, passed it up to the winger, it didn't get out. It came back in, and Montreal was able to sustain its offensive zone pressure and would eventually break down the Capitals and get a goal.
All right, two and more.
I think for
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was saying for the Capitals to succeed, they're going to have to get that puck out of their own end and going up in the other direction as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
All right, last two. First, give me a player that you think, you know, is sort of an X factor in this series for the Caps.
I'm going to go with Anthony Beauvillier. Newcomer, relative newcomer to the team, obviously acquired at the deadline. He is tailor-made for these types of moments. I thought he was very good in the Montreal series. I think there's
game one, right? Game one, he had a huge goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He had a huge goal, and he also had an assist to OB on the overtime winner.
Right.
Yeah. He is a dog and a bone. He is dogged and determined and plays on his toes over his skates. Like he invites contact. He dishes out contact. He's not a very big man, but he is tailor-made for the playoffs. He's had some great playoff runs with other teams in the past. 2 years in a row for the Islanders, he was one of their best players in the postseason. For me, he's the X factor. I thought he got to his game during stretches in Montreal. I think he's going to be better against Carolina.
All right, prediction.
Capitals in seven, and here's what I think is going to happen. I think everyone is going to hold serve at home, and I think it's going to come down to that last game in Washington, and that's what you play the entire year for, right, is to have home ice advantage, where Carberry is one of the best in terms of manipulating lineups and kind of anticipating what the other coach is trying to do and then counteracting it. Having home ice is going to be massive for the Capitals. They're going to win it in seven at home in D.C. and move on to play either Florida or Toronto in the conference final.
Thanks for doing this, Tark. As always, hopefully we are talking before an Eastern Conference Final Series in a week or so. Appreciate it. Hope you're well.
Kevin, give me a call anytime.
Tark El-Bashir, everybody. Always good to have Tark on. John Walton will join us at 12:30 today to preview Game 1 and preview the series against Carolina as well. When we come back, a not surprising cut of a future Hall of Famer. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
All right, last night the Washington Nationals were rained out. They will re-rack today and take on the Cleveland Guardians twice in a doubleheader right here on the Team 980. Pregame starts with Charlie and Dave, starts at 3:05. Two thrilling NBA finishes last night. The Knicks rally from a 20-point deficit to beat the Boston Celtics in overtime, 108-105, and the Nuggets fight back to steal a win off Oklahoma City. Jokic put up 42 points and 22 rebounds. Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender Anthony Stolarz exited the game last night midway through the second period and was sent to the hospital with concussion-like symptoms after taking a puck to the mask and an elbow to the head. He has since been released. The Maple Leafs win last night 5-4. The Washington Capitals will finally take on the Carolina Hurricanes after nearly a week off. Pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. Logan Thompson expected to get the start. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.